Thank you, Don. Just wanted to say a word about the back of the bulletin. Not always Annie Johnson Flint, but I have been trying to put some of her poetry. Last week, I showed this little book by V. Raymond Edmond, But God, and on the back of the bulletin, she was the one that authored that poem, But God, basically saying, I can't, but God can, and I can't see, but God can see, and I don't know, but he knows. She didn't say it in that order. But anyway, V. Raymond Edmond, in that little book of But God, going through different devotionals on where that phrase comes up in the word, changes the whole picture, but God, such as Joseph to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. Wonderful passages about that. Anyway, what I had wanted to share was V. Raymond Edmond in his book said, the world's kind of losing out on knowing the poetry of Annie Johnson Flint. And in that book, he has one of her poems at each one of the devotionals. Annie Johnson Flint, born in the later 1800s, suffered greatly with arthritis through her life, but had such insight and impact in her poetry. And I praise God. I look forward to meeting her one day, thanking her. Father, we thank you for your work of grace in the lives of your people, to get done your work. And Father, I thank you for this special passage here in 1 John and, Lord, its application really to all of us as Christians that have been walking with you and know you and love you, and I pray your guidance as we share. Lord, in our own weakness, thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you can work to accomplish your will, and we invite you to do that in Jesus' name. It was April 19th that Oswald Chambers' devotional that came up in My Utmost for His Highest was entitled Beware of the Least Likely Temptation. And it's very interesting to me how that it seems that God gave Oswald Chambers insights into some of the practical lessons that there are through some of the stories and some of the incidents in the Bible. And this one he was pointing in, we're not going to focus on that, but to Joab, the head of the military for David, and how he, and let me just stop and say, as a young lad, a young man, David was anointed to be king. What a battle to get to the place where he actually was the king. Even his son Absalom was trying to steal the kingdom from him. Joab was strong, and he stood against Absalom. But then comes along Adonijah trying to stand against Solomon for being the king, and he went after Adonijah. And that's why he picked up this thought, beware of the least likely temptation. And I just share one paragraph that he said, you may have just victoriously gone through a great crisis, but now be alert about the things that may appear to be the least likely to tempt you. Beware of thinking that the areas of your life where you've experienced victory in the past are now the least likely to cause you to stumble and fall. We are apt to say it is not at all likely that having been through that great crisis in my life that I would now turn back to the things of the world. Do not predict where the temptation will come. It is the least likely thing that is a real danger. And I appreciate his insight on that because, and I think I have this on my last page, but I'll say it now. I became a Christian in 1952, So that's over 70 years ago. God's helped me to understand the battle. I love the Lord Jesus, but I know this, Satan has not given up on me. And I can tell you, he's not giving up on you. And we need to know that. And so what Oswald Chambers is saying, and what I believe John is really indicating here in 1 John 2, in your growth in the Lord, your walk with the Lord, your maturity in the Lord, be aware. The world is an ever-present danger. And it's not just the world, but it's the God of this world that uses this fallen world. And we need to be aware and alert to that. So John points out here, and I want to, in a moment, back up and see who his audience is, because that's very, very important. But he's saying, don't love it. Don't love the things that are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, which is, it's not that you can do both, to love the world and love the Father. John's making that clear. James, he warned about spiritual adultery, where he said, don't be a friend of it, because if you're a friend of the world, you're at enmity with God. And so in a real way, Jesus' prayer is so significant in John 17 when he says he's praying. He prays for me and you right there, because in John 17 he says, I pray not only for these, but all those that will come to know you through them. And we're included in that. But he said, I don't pray, Father, that you take them out of the world. I mean, he came here and walked here, and he, of course, he being God knew, but he faced head on what this world is all about and what the temptations of this world are all about. But he said, I don't pray that you take them out, but I pray you'd keep them from the evil. It's an ever-present danger. And I think just want to share some things about that, because here we come to the Lord's table today, and we need to realize we need to continually walk close to the Lord, abiding in Christ, walking with him in obedience to the Word of God and to the direction of the Spirit of God. I don't know what captured Demas, but Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul in Colossians 4:14. Paul refers to the beloved physician, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. In Philemon, Demas is listed in the fellow laborers with the Apostle Paul. To Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul wrote, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. And I just have to wonder, I mean, he was with Paul in the wonderful things of presenting the gospel and bringing the truth of the gospel to others, but he wandered off. Truth is, there's 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, will not suffer you to be able to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. Somehow Demas did not take that way of escape. And to me, Demas stands as a real live example of what can happen. You can be right in the middle of it and something gets a hold of you in the world system or the enemy and takes you away. What I want you to do is look at, again, who John is writing to you. He says, I write to you, little children, and by the way, little children would cover some of you here, not me, I don't think, but anyway, to him, middle-aged people were little children, I think, at this point in his life. I write to you because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him, this from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you've known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him. That's from the beginning. And then he says, I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. The word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Now that's a, those are individuals that are where they should be. You're strong spiritually. God's word abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one and his schemes and plans against you. To them, to us, he says, don't love the world. Watch out for the world. And he just reminds you that he was writing to overcoming Christians. It's a real task by the Spirit of God to live in it and not be of it, because we have to deal with it. And I was looking at the passage in 1 Corinthians 7 where Paul dealt with it, and he's saying that the time is short and our focus really needs to be on the Lord. And he even says, when you have a wife, you know, he's not saying to not be faithful to your wife, but he's saying you got to be faithful to the Lord and not let other things interfere. So when he talks about the world, he said, the time is short. Keep Christ first. And as using this world, not abusing it, and that's King James. I just checked it out in a couple of NIV says, not being engrossed in the things of this world. New Living says, not becoming attached to the things of this world. ESV says, as though they have no dealings with it. I appreciate it. There's a Berean Standard version that says, if not, as not dependent on it. God has to show us in all levels, because some, whether you're in some business or something, you're dealing with the world. We're in it, and we have to deal with it. But what John is warning, don't get attached to it. Don't let it get into your heart to pull you off in some direction. John says what the world is really in the, one has defined it as this present order and arrangement of things, but it's under the control of the God of this world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, it's the God of this world has blinded the minds of the believe not. And so in a real way, he was given such a advantage there in the garden, in the fall. But John says it's involved in the lust of the flesh, our fleshly desires to be satisfied somehow in a wrong way, the lust of the eyes and the attractiveness of it, and the pride of life. And I think that's got to be a big one, of how it exalts and lifts up, and to be aware of that. And you know, we see that. We see it with Eve. The serpent came to her. And you know the story, but just reminded, those three things are true in his temptation with Eve. Those things, three things are true in his temptation with Jesus. And I can tell you, he'll try to use those three things in temptations in your life, my life. And I just, the wisdom that God gave Oswald Chambers, watch out for the least, the thing that's probably the least against you or that would captivate you. And he uses an illustration with Joab, how he was victorious in one of those strong things with Absalom, but came to this other fellow. He went and followed him. Watch out to the least threatening thing in your life. It may be the thing that he will try to use with you. So with Eve, God made it clear. You can eat of every tree in the garden. And I imagine the dimensions of that were something else, and all sorts of variety and all sorts of beauty and goodness. But that tree of knowledge of good and evil is off limits. And of course, that's what the enemy will always go after, the thing that is not right for you before God. And he begins to question God. Hath God said you can't eat of all the trees? She was clear. He said we can eat of all the trees of the garden except that one. And then he questions God. He knows when you eat of that tree, your eyes are going to be open and you'll be as gods. You'll be exalted somehow and you'll know good and evil. The word says when she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was beautiful to look at, and it was one to make you wise, she took and ate. Her eyes were open. So he comes to the Lord Jesus, and I just struggle every time I read Matthew 4 of Jesus submitting himself, letting Satan take him places and show him things. And Jesus spoke him into existence. Lucifer, brilliant, beautiful, but he wanted to be like God. He wanted to lift himself up, and he inspires rebellion always. So Jesus is fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and at that point, I understand the body starts to starve, uses up everything until that point. It says he was hungered. Satan comes, says, see those stones, just make them bread, you're powerful, you can do that. And Jesus, of course, said, man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. Just cast yourself down. You've written in your word. It's in your word that his angels will bear you up and you'll be exalted before people. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That promise in Psalm 91 is great, but he left out. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and then they'll bear you up. You don't just decide, I'm just going to do something and put myself out and see if God will help me. The one that bothers me took him in a high place and showed him the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. Well, Jesus made the physical world and the glory of it. He said, just fall down and worship me and I'll give them all to you. And at that point, of course, Jesus said, only worship God. Depart from me, and he left him. But he wants us to know, he wants me to know that he faced the tempter. He faced the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and was an overcomer, and that's what he desires for us. And so Satan will use some force, some power of physical satisfaction, some power of attractiveness to sight, some power of building yourself up to be somebody, and just the temptation to pride. And the thing, I guess, as I think about it, he'll go after the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, God's word says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then I think of 2 Timothy 1:12, where Paul said to Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. To me, the reminder is, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you the affections of my heart. You're able to keep that. Sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart, and that's why I appreciate David's insight in the psalm to be able to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I just have no question that we're talking here to people that have known the Lord, probably most of you, long, long time. You've walked with him. And I think what God is using John to say is, watch out, there may be an area in your life you wouldn't even suspect that he'll go after. that could be a danger to you. And I just think a wonderful thing to say, Lord Jesus, keep my heart until that day. Keep the affections of my heart. And I want us in a moment just to sing that. It's been put to music. But I think what God has put in my heart is I was reading that devotional back in April. Be alert. There's areas that you don't even think would be a problem to you that could become a problem that the enemy would go after. I write to you, that last verse, I write to you, young men, you're strong. The word of God abides in you. You overcome the wicked one. Don't love the world. Don't love the world. If you love the world, love the Father's not in you. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for the Lord's table, I just know that every one of us that is walking with you is of threat and danger to the wicked one. And he doesn't give up, and he goes after, and he is always scheming to somehow take ground in our lives. I just pray for every brother and sister in Christ here today that they'd be strengthened, Lord, with spiritual might and insight to keep their hearts before you, and that we would walk to you in overcoming power until the day that we either meet you by our end here or meet you in the air. Lord, keep us alert. It's a danger that we walk in. You, Lord, have not chosen to take any of us here right out of the world. Please keep us from the evil, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.